Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Soundcheck's week-long series from Berlin continues with a look at the city's musical past. Cabaret singer Mike Raba explains why cabaret music is popular again, plus why some people are nostalgic for the communist era in East Berlin. That's Soundcheck today at 2 on 93.9 FM, WNYC. So how does a school with 98% of the students passing the state math test and 86% passing the English test, how does that school get an F on the new report cards for schools handed out in New York City yesterday? The Daily News wrote up this case of PS35 on Staten Island. Those high test scores were even achieved in a school with half the students living in poverty. Now, other schools with great reputations also got surprisingly low grades in some cases. Even the vaunted PS6 on the Upper East Side, often called the best public elementary school in the city, got a B. The famous PS321 in Park Slope also got a B. And according to the New York Times today, in an article I'm not sure I agree with the premise of, even real estate prices could be affected since parents with money move where the good schools are. But let's deconstruct these report cards a little bit and talk about as well what is right with them. And I personally think there is a lot of good here along with some of the silly stuff. Parents, teachers, principals, call in 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What do you think? Parents, if you're home, your kids are off to school or you're working and happen to be listening, I know we always get some teachers on prep periods calling in. Principals, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining us for this conversation is Jennifer Medina, education beat reporter for the New York Times. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Hi, thank you.
So the short answer to how PS35 got an F is that 55% of the grade is based on student improvement since last year. And a school that already had almost everybody passing the state math tests and reading tests didn't have very far up that they could go. Would you put it that way?
That's basically right, Ryan. One of the most important thing that the Chancellor Joel Klein and Mayor Bloomberg have said is that all schools need to show improvement. So in other words, no matter how good your school is and how well your students are doing, you should be doing better every year. So they put the largest weight on student progress. Another thing that plays a big factor within that student progress is how well you do with the lowest one-third of the students at the school, so the students who struggle the most, how much you move them. So in the case of PS35 on Staten Island, also in some of the cases such as 321 in Brooklyn, they had trouble because their lowest third did not show significant improvement based on this measure.
The lowest third. So the lowest third is broken out for a separate rating.
Right. It's a rating within the progress rating. It's a very confusing system, which is part of the reason that you're hearing such a big outcry from parents,
right,
especially parents at what has been perceived as very good schools.
Although, as I look at the breakdown of how the grade is determined, and it is very complicated and does have those subcategories, I actually think there's a lot to like here. Because of things like that, because it is a sophisticated formula, maybe 55% of the grade is too much for student progress. But if you're breaking out a percentage of that for how the lowest performing third improves, well, that's an important thing to measure. And if they're giving 15% of the total grade to school environment and surveying teachers parents about school life, and I understand that category has four categories within it: safety and respect, academic expectations, engagement, and communication. So they're generating a lot of feedback. They're generating a lot of close inspection of each school, you know, at what appears to be, at least, a very significant level of detail on quite a few meaningful measures. So it seems like a lot of good could come of this.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the reason, one of the major reasons that the mayor and chancellor thought that this was so important is that First of all, the city serves largely poor, largely Black and Latino students, and it's very difficult to reward a school that has so many challenges and again stacked up against it, and see what they do with difficult to educate students. And this is one place where you see those schools shining. Many of those schools got A's based on this measurement. So that is part of what they have said is a lot of good that I think you're talking about.
Let's take a call. We're getting a lot of calls. 212-433-WNYC. You can also post to our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Elizabeth in Upper Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Where are you, Washington Heights?
I am in Washington Heights. You know, I think that it's great that the Department of Education has a really nuanced way of assessing its schools. I think that that's progress. But to focus so much just on progress really does give some very funky results.
Well, let's talk about that. What is education about but having students make progress from year to year?
Well, I think it's about having students make progress from year to year, but I think there has to be more thought given to longitudinal progress over more time than just a year. So looking at the success of third graders last year in my children's former elementary school is one measure of progress. But looking at where is the graduating class of 2000, did they graduate from high school?
Mm-hmm.
Did they go to college? If so, what colleges do they go to? That's a useful
right.
measure.
And you think your kids are an example of that, right? You told our screener?
Yeah, my kids graduated from this school that just got an F. My daughter is a junior at Bronx Science, a nationally recognized debater, and has two varsity letters. And my son is a freshman at Brooklyn Tech.
And her elementary school got an F on this initial
Yeah,
year.
And their middle school, which is in District 2,
uh-huh.
which for years has been vying for first and second place with Mott Hall, a
right.
nationally recognized excellent middle school,
right.
their middle school got a C.
Interesting. Well, Elizabeth, thanks. I'm going to leave it there. And Jennifer Medina, Education Beat reporter for the New York Times, maybe there need to be two sets of grades, one that does focus primarily on improvement, because let's face it, there are so many schools in the system where the kids are not doing as well as they might in general. I think there's actually been too much media about the good schools and their low grades. So this measure of improvement from year to year, is important for a lot of schools. But maybe there also should be some kind of general grade on just an absolute scale. So nobody's really going to say that PS6 on the Upper East Side is a B school. I mean, that's just silly. But it's B accurately on these particular measures. So maybe there almost need to be two grades because there are two different contexts.
Completely possible, Ryan. You can submit that to the people who make the decisions. I mean, one thing that they have argued already is that this measure will get more sophisticated as time goes on. So as your caller before was just talking about, it would measure things like longitudinal success and how well students do over not just 2 years, but 3, 4, 5, and even 8 years out.
Let's take another call. Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You're asking for us to say something good about it, which is very
difficult. I'm asking you to say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, what's good? I mean, I find a lot egregious about the whole concept, but this in no way is going to reflect how little the city does to help those struggling students, specifically those with reading difficulties. That number's 4 out of 10 children have trouble learning to read. So if you take a good school, that I think there's one in Battery Park that got a B or a C or something, where it went from 90% proficiency to 86% proficiency, that could have been a handful of struggling readers who, if you just expand that out to the entire city or just everywhere in
mm-hmm.
every grade. And the city, I've been at great pains to bring this to the attention of the DOE.
Mm-hmm.
And until that's addressed, you'll always have struggling students. And this is just nothing. This is just part of the whole privatization agenda to designate schools ready to be shut down and turned into charter schools.
Susan, thank you. Well, do you think that that's the case, Jennifer, when schools fail, are they setting them up to to be shut down. I know they can fire the principals now if they fail for, you know, for too long. But shut down and privatized in any way?
Privatized, I'm not sure. Shut down, absolutely. I mean, the mayor and chancellor have both made clear that they do intend to close schools, which is something they've done for the last 4 or 5 years, and they may shut down schools at a more rapid clip than what they've been doing. How quickly those decisions will be made and how quickly the schools will be shut down sort of remains to be seen.
Jennifer in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
All right, and you?
A little more about progress.
Yes.
Some children, working at their maximum ability, may be 80% students. The next year, they will be 80%. That is their maximum performance. A school, you know, with children like that would not be getting improvement marks, even though the kids are doing their best.
Jennifer, is that true?
Absolutely. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I mean, sorry. You're the caller is Jennifer, and the guest is Jennifer. Jennifer, the guest.
Huh. Well, it's mostly true. It depends. There's some movement, depending on what level the kid is at. There is a gradation here. The way that state test scores are graded are on 1 through 4. And so for a student who has gotten a 3, the parent and the student may not know, well, was that a high 3 or a low 3? And one of the things that the report card is measuring is movements within scores. So I think that's what your caller is referring to.
Jennifer, thanks for your call. Do you, I don't know if you did, you didn't do that article on real estate today, did you?
I helped with it, but that was my colleague, Alyssa Gutman.
Right. So this theory that these grades could even scramble real estate prices because parents with enough money to chase real estate in a good school district might now look at, one of the examples was given, PS 87 on the Upper West Side, didn't do quite as well as PS 9 a little further south on the Upper West Side, and so maybe those blocks will become a little more desirable than the other blocks. It's hard for me to imagine that that's really going to be the case again, because these are such relative scores, not really, you know, reflective of the absolute qualities of the schools. And they may prove to be changeable from year to year. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you want to talk about the article, but it looks like speculation to me.
Well, I think it certainly is. I mean, one of the things we're trying to measure is what kind of an impact that these grades will have. And to some degree, it's all on how they're perceived. And one of the major questions right now is, are these perceived as absolute grades? And I think the answer so far has suggested that they're not. So certainly a real estate agent could suggest to a parent that this school received an A and maybe is an up-and-coming school. I think what we've heard just based on reporters that were out yesterday is that schools like 321 and PS6 are not going to have people, you know, having any kind of exodus from that school, and they will still mm-hmm. likely have people rushing to get into that neighborhood for their child to attend those very popular schools.
Corinna in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. The grade doesn't tell me anything. I'm very confused that you have all this complex formula that gives you just one simple grade to explain you what. I have 2 children in elementary school, and I know a lot about my school. I'm very involved. I know it on a day-to-day basis. This grade doesn't tell me anything. We got a B. Okay, if we're happy or not, I don't care. It really doesn't tell me anything. And I want my children's education to be much more detailed, and what I get as feedback from the teachers and from the principal, much more detailed than just be a letter grade. So I would like to have the same for the school.
Did they notify you as a parent? Did they notify the parents in general of these letter grades, or give you any kind of, you're saying there was no narrative. Was there a breakdown, at least category by category, that was communicated to the parents?
Yes. No, but what I mean is I don't want single grades, letter grades for my children's education, like in school.
Yes.
So because I want much more detailed information, how they're doing, where the problems are, whatever. It's like a grade doesn't tell me anything. We have narrative reports for our kids.
Right.
I know that this is like all detailed information about the school.
So the
but
same.
Tell me, but at the end, it's just a letter grade.
Yeah. So you want the narrative as well for the schools, just like you would want it for your kids.
Yeah, and then also feel like it's more that they need all this formula to make understand our schools. We know them already, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I know them the way I can go there and have contact with the school and be there and be involved. And I don't need this letter writer to tell me anything.
Corinna, thanks for your call. Give us a last word, Jennifer, in our last 30 seconds. So we hear the kinds of reactions that people are having to this. I think it's fairly representative of what's going on around the city. What do you think they do next?
I just want to, real quickly on that, the parent who just called, it's true for parents like her who are very involved in their school that they know the school. But that is not the case for a large number of parents who don't know the school. And so what they do with this grade remains to be seen. What's next, I think, is how this affects the individual schools, largely the D and F schools, how quickly they will be closed down, how quickly principals will be removed, and how many students transfer out. They said that any student who attends an F school will have the ability mm-hmm. to transfer to another school. Mm-hmm. How many students will do that will be a very interesting thing to watch.
All right. Jennifer Medina, Education Beat reporter for the New York Times. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for your calls and for listening. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.